What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
A little bit of a different start of the episode than to the episode that came out this past weekend. Jack, I have a question. Have you ever been hungover before from not drinking alcohol?
No.
Well, it's almost worse than being hungover by drinking alcohol. I don't really remember, and I didn't consume a sip of alcohol on Sunday. I don't really remember a lot of that podcast, that rant. I've yet to watch it back. I have gotten texts from Sixers fans saying, thank you for being the voice for those of us who cannot have a voice. So the voice for the voiceless in Philadelphia, I think so. I woke up Monday morning and I kind of saw the clips that came out. I was like, I don't remember saying any of that. I probably said a lot that I didn't actually mean. I'm just going to be straight up. Wow. Probably said a lot of shit I did mean. But I thought about it. I overreacted a lot in certain regards. It might have been unnecessary to call Joel fat, like, over and over and over again, and call James Harden fat over and over and over again, because, like, what good does that do? That's just mean. It's just being mean. I'm not a mean person. But I meant every word that I meant about Doc Rivers. I promise you that. And I don't even think I gave him a lot of shit. But rest in piss, bozo. Rest in absolute piss. The first domino has fallen. Doc Rivers has been fired. And you know what? I think we're back. I think we might be back.
Already?
No. I'm fucking around. That is the photo of, like, the guy that's crying a lot of tears with just a mask of a smiling face. But one thing had to happen. At least that happened. Like, could have been worse. Could have just said, we're keeping him.
That's true.
Yeah, so if I offended anybody, if people didn't agree with me on Sunday on my rant, I apologize. I didn't really know what was happening. I was in the heat of the moment. And sometimes this is playoff basketball, baby. It's what it does to you. It's me trying to light a fire under those who cannot have a fire lit under them in the NBA playoffs. So right hand up, I probably overreacted to a lot. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And that was probably a detrimental effect to my physical health, to be honest.
I'm a little upset that you're backtracking. I mean,
I'm not backtracking. I'm just acknowledging the fact that I, you know, probably said a lot of things that I didn't fully mean. I'm not saying.
What didn't you mean, though? Which part?
That, Jack, I haven't watched it back. I refuse to watch it back.
All right, let's do a quick checklist. Obviously, okay. You meant everything about Doc. Are you still cool with Harden walking?
Depends on the situation.
Wow, you are an idiot. Respect.
I don't really want to go into the off-season plans. Am I cool if Harden walks? I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Okay.
So we can do that. Use that.
Trade Joel.
I think I overreacted to that one.
I figured.
Rightfully, like, I don't actually think we should trade Joel. I don't think we will. There are people in Philadelphia who genuinely mean it. And they're hysterical. But yeah, I don't think we will. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea to ever trade the MVP in basketball. Fine.
He's kind of a loser. All right. Well, let's talk about.
I meant that part. He is a loser.
Yeah. No, that's undeniable at this point. Before we get to the first game of the conference finals, let's talk ping pong balls. Where were you watching? What were you thinking? Is the lotto rigged?
I told you this is the summer of me, Jack. I'm focusing on me this summer. That's what I'm doing. I didn't watch the lottery. I look forward to the time where I can get back to where I have to watch the lottery, because truthfully, some of the happiest days of my life were revolved around where ping pong balls would fall and when the Sixers were in the lottery. I did not get the chance to watch the lottery. It is kind of perfect in the sense that San Antonio won. One, you get Wembanyama in the Western Conference for you and I. Two, it's just a perfect encapsulation of real and fake franchises. You have the Detroit Pistons, who have the number one option. Granted, the Spurs were tied, so we're not going to say
No,
that.
were they?
But I think so. I think they're one of the top three. But the Pistons fall as far as they possibly can to five. Like, that is just the NBA in a nutshell. We don't want to reward the Detroit Pistons. We'll reward a team that had one of the greatest dynasties in NBA history. Wembanyama to San Antonio. Conspiracy that it's rigged, because did Wendy, in his little 45-second interview after a 15-hour flight to Paris, drop a little hint to us that Wembanyama has known this for months?
Did he say that?
I saw a clip, maybe it was fake. He was like, "Wemby, you've known this for months," or something, and everyone's just like, "Whoa."
That's
I'm pretty sure.
about being the number one pick.
Never know. You asked
There's
if the NBA is rigged. I'm just collecting the data.
okay. Yeah, there were some speculators out there on my Snap story that were like, yeah, it's rigged. They never want to reward small markets. I'm like, yo, who the hell watches San Antonio? Like, what? That is one of the smallest markets in the country. So I don't think it's rigged. I think the karma is real, though. The karma of don't be poverty forever, like Detroit and like Charlotte. Be a good franchise. When you see an opportunity, tank for it. And I think they had a master class. Looks like Pop's now gonna stick around. The majority of NBA Twitter, and myself included, the reason I'm excited is because if he is this generational prospect, which there's been the who's a bigger prospect, LeBron or Wemby? It was LeBron. But if there was a place to go, you wanted him to go to a place that would actually take care of him and put him in a position to succeed. That seemingly is San Antonio. So I think a plus for basketball, plus for Wemby. He did not want to go to Houston. Do you see that? That was
Yeah,
real.
I actually disagree with that wholeheartedly. I am not going to disagree with the fact that Houston is probably one of the worst cultures in the NBA from a basketball standpoint, but I have learned the type of sick fucks that Harden stans are. Like, they are some crazy, will go to the end of the world for their guy, and it is hilarious. You have to imagine a lot of them started in Houston, or probably Houston fans at their core that just followed James after. But if you got Harden stans on your back in the internet, you're fine. So, like, I didn't necessarily agree with Wembanyama not wanting to go to Houston, maybe for the culture, but like, if you go to Houston, you get an army. You get an absolute army behind you.
But you might have to play with James Harden, which, if you heard Vic's conversation with Wendy, he made it very clear. I want to win a championship soon. So,
Very
championship James
unnecessary.
Harden,
Very unnecessary.
that's a collision course for a lot of losing. So,
Nice dunk.
Wemby to the Spurs. I'm sure there'll be a ton of debates over Scoot at two to Charlotte, Brandon Miller at two. Give me your prediction, not who you think should, but who do you
Well,
think drafts?
Scoot should go one. So I just want to put that out there right now. Scoot should go one. I'm just saying, you look at these guys that are genuine freaks of nature. Their bodies don't make sense in terms of how anything could ever look like that. And they play basketball. You've got people like Joel Embiid, people like Anthony Davis, people like Kristaps Porzingis. It's like, these guys are always hurt. And listen, I hope Wembanyama is great and doesn't get hurt. But like, I'm just saying, Scoot is built like a fucking linebacker. He is sick. I watched one G League game of his and I was sold.
But he jumps like Ja. Like, he's a little crazy like that.
Crazy like what?
Not like that. Like the John Wall, Derrick Rose types, the hanging in the
Yeah, but
air.
he's built like a fucking Brinks truck.
Yeah, that's a lot of
Nothing can
weight
break.
to land
And he's
on.
working with Steph Curry this summer.
I
You
saw.
want, let me ask you a question. Would you rather forget the prospects? If I came to you and I said, Jack, would you rather invest in a guy who spends his summers working out with Stephen Curry or a guy who spends his summers working out with Boris Diaw?
Are they working out together or are they doing like mastermind classes? I thought it was like a
I'm sure they'll
business
get shots up.
collaboration.
Nah, I'm sure they'll get shots up.
Yeah, well, Scoot needs to work on his jumper. So if he turns that on, he's going to be a different prospect. I did see some incredible next level cope from Charlotte fans that, oh, we're happy we got two. In any other draft, Scoot or Miller would be the first overall pick. And I was like, what?
But it's
That's the
not
angle you're
any, there's
taking?
another guy.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, let's go to the conference finals. The Denver Nuggets take game one against the Lakers. And this was another all-time great from LeBron stands, from Lakers fans who came out of game one, losing game one, like falling behind and losing in the series, but being like, you know what? That was a great result for us. We're going to 100% win game two. All we got to do is put Rui Hachimura on the MVP, and that's going to solve.
Whoa!
Sorry, he's
Former
not the MVP. My bad.
MVP.
The MVP's at home. All we got to do is put
Thank you.
Rui Hachimura on the rightful MVP, and that'll solve everything. I'm sure the best player left in the playoffs will not be able to figure out Rui Hachimura, who could not make it on the Washington Wizards. Now, Rui played great. Rui scored a lot, which makes him even more of a
I was going
threat.
to say, you have got a quite a drawer of Rui Hachimura trading cards, and maybe you sold them before this episode, and that's something I don't know about, but I've never heard any negativity towards Rui out of your mouth.
If people don't think that the Nuggets are going to figure out this adjustment, they're hilarious. This is how the NBA playoffs work. You make moves and people adjust to those moves. Not Doc, but most people adjust to
Going to
those
say
moves.
I've seen very little of that, so this is a new
But
concept to me.
and maybe it takes 5 games like it did for Joe Mazzulla, but like NBA Twitter actually for the most part understands what moves to make. Like they can successfully predict what the counters to the counters will be. If you think figuring out how to guard Jokic is just by putting Rui on him, I have something coming for you, Lakers fans. It's not going to be that simple. I'm not to say that that won't be a it's a great first step, but let's also look at the other side of the coin. Anthony Davis, Beta Davis, had 40 points in the game. Austin Reaves hit 5 threes in the game. It's not like the Lakers didn't play their asses off. I know the Nuggets were making a lot of really, really tough shots, but are you getting 40 from AD every single game? Are you getting 23 from Reaves every single game? I don't think that D'Angelo Russell is going to be playable in this series. So, yes, while Rui's now going to eat up 30 minutes a game and he's going to have to guard Jokic on one end and then provide 15 points a game on the other, it just seems like a lot to ask for someone who was practically a free agent going into the summer. So, what were your thoughts? I know you're not watching hoops, which makes your job
No,
as a podcaster tough.
I'll watch. Dude, you can watch anything you want on the timeline, brother. I will watch S. Chris Broussard. I will watch the Lakers series. I caught a little bit of game one. I just couldn't get myself to turn on the Heat Celtics game last night. I'm sorry. But while I agree that it's weird that Lakers fans are kind of celebrating a loss. Like, there's no good losses in the playoffs, but we've learned, and you've said it, and I've experienced it. 7 games is a long
Yeah.
series. And from what I saw in that game, the Lakers uncovered something defensively that they can probably roll with. And you're right. Who knows if the put a forward on Jokic and have AD roam as a free safety is a viable solution for the long run. From what I've seen, it is when people do that. So maybe that is just the way that you now defend bigs in the playoffs, regardless of what their skill set is. We'll find out. But the Lakers have something to build off from a strategy standpoint, whereas I don't think the Nuggets necessarily do. Like, the Nuggets were god awful on the defensive end, and I don't think they necessarily know the answer just yet. And then you've got LeBron James waiting for you on the other side. So while a 7-game series is long, and I think everyone kind of agrees that the Nuggets are a better team, at the end of the day, I just think it's going to come down to an intimidation factor. Like, especially after that comeback that kind of fell short. Like, I just think the Nuggets are, what's the saying? It's like, better scramble before you get folded like an omelet or something. Like, the Nuggets got to finish this series fast if they want a chance. Because if this goes to 6 and then goes to 7, and there's pressure against the wall, and you've got LeBron James on the other side, I think there's a level of fear that kicks in, even though he did just go and beat Kevin Durant. But that guy's a loser.
I don't think that the Nuggets have that fear. I think that if I'm a Nuggets fan, I'm thrilled that we escaped with the win after we didn't score for
practice. You financially are a Nuggets fan, and I am financially a Lakers fan against
each other. Forgot about that. That. Yeah, that's not really even why. But, yeah, big win for them. Let's flip to the ECF. I know you didn't watch. You won't watch any of these games. You'll watch some.
Well, the saying, by the way, is better scramble like an egg before you get folded like an omelet. Okay.
Gotcha.
Will I watch the Eastern Conference Finals? I didn't watch it last night purposefully. I almost turned it on when it was close at the end. Turned it on. I was like, mm-mm, can't do it. But Boston lost another game one. I've seen this script before. I'm seeing a lot of Jimmy Butler love on the timeline. And like I said, I didn't watch. So this is just me asking based off what I'm seeing on the timeline and in the box score. Did Jimmy Butler do anything different in a game one in Boston last night than James Harden did? I'll wait.
Well, I'm confused what the question is. Like, they played in a very yes, Jimmy Butler at 60.
It's like the meme, and it's like James Harden, fat fuck. Jimmy Butler, thick queen or something, when they right. did the same thing.
But the difference is that if this series goes to 6 or 7, Jimmy Butler's not going to be folded like an omelet.
Yeah, no, listen, I told you I didn't watch. I'm asking you the question, so I appreciate your answer. I didn't ask about game 6 and 7. All I asked was, did Jimmy Butler do anything different in game one in TD Garden that James Harden didn't do last series?
He had six steals.
Did it twice. He had six steals. Got it. Okay. So there's the answer.
I don't even know what your angle is here, but I will say this was kind of how...
I'm spiraling, dude. I am spiraling. It's like I go from one side, defending to hating. I'm in a bad spot. Let's just make that clear.
The prediction going into the series, I forget what I landed on. I think it was Celtics in 7 or 6. I thought that the Celtics were the significantly better team and that they should sweep this series. Like, I genuinely believe that man for man, they had the power and the depth and the strength to just dominate the Heat. But then I was like, the Celtics do this every time. They have 26 losses this season as favorites. They never take care of business. They're going to be outcoached. And they get so sloppy. They get so sloppy. And so what happens in game one? Jimmy comes out, strong first quarter, 12 points, looking good. And then the Celtics settle in. And if you were to play out a whole half of basketball, then the Celtics are probably 9 points better than the Heat, which they were at half. And then Boston, in the second half, does what they did all last year in the finals, which was they let up 46 points in a quarter. They just couldn't figure out how to stop the scoring for the Heat. And then the fourth, they finally get some stops, and Jason Tatum threw up on himself more than Deuce Tatum would on a Tuesday night as a three-year-old. The Boston Celtics, they're so... If I was a Celtics fan, I actually think that... I would say that they're probably the most frustrating team in the league. Like, I would hate and resent that team. They're so stupidly talented. They are so good. And yet they find ways to lose. They invent ways to figure out new ways to lose. I understand that you, but you're pointing at yourself as a Sixers fan. You're
no,
just
I'm
an
not.
Idiot.
I just, no, I'm just playing the fucking finger violin for you ever feeling even an ounce of bad feeling for Boston sports fans. God forbid they have a little bit of struggle in that dumbass kid with the poster. I've been to 14 parades in my 8 years of life. Cry me a river. The rich cry poor. Ugh, disgusting. But to your point about Jason Tatum and throwing up in the fourth quarter, what did I tell you on Sunday? Jason Tatum can't be trusted like that. He's a streaky, streaky guy. Yeah, he had 55 in the fucking game 7. But I could have had 30 in that game against that Sixers team. So I don't even think that's that impressive. That's what Jason Tatum does, and that's what this Boston team does. I know this Boston team in and out, and don't be surprised if they come back in game two and absolutely shit pump Miami. Like, I was very invested in Celtics fans and how they felt about their team and how they felt about their coach. At no point will they could have a 2-1 lead, 3-1 lead. They won't be confident that they're going to close this away. That's just what they've been all year. They play up to their competition and they play down to their competition. They lose to Washington like twice during the year, Orlando twice or something, and then they beat one of the greatest teams ever assembled in seven games last series. It's like that's just what they do. When their back's against the wall, they're going to play well. I don't know who that falls on, if it's the veteran leadership of Horford, Marcus Smart, it's definitely not Joe Mazzulla, so it's got to be coming from somewhere, or it's just the fact that the NBA is rigged and they want Lakers Celtics and that's what they're going to get.
They are probably going to get that. I did see someone say if it's Heat Nuggets, they'll broadcast that 10:30 on NBA TV all summer long.
That I won't watch. That I genuinely won't watch that. Because, to be honest, like, don't the finals game start at, like, 9, and they say 9, and then it's 9:20?
Yeah.
No shot. I'll do a few maybe first quarter, first basket bets. That is not it.
Will you
That's ESPN the Ocho.
Will you watch anything outside of Celtics-Lakers?
I don't even want to watch Celtics-Lakers. Like, I don't want to see the Boston Celtics on my screen. Like, I woke up yesterday and I was like, I can't believe we're not playing today. Like, I cannot believe it. I'm going to watch it because I have a duty as a podcaster and a duty to the fam, and I would never let the fam down. Might watch on the timeline, but I'll have my points ready to go, all right? As if I did watch. I just let me cope the way that I deem necessary is all I ask.
Okay. Well, let's talk our cap of the week. I will begin. I was kind of excited for this one because we saw, I think it was NBA Central posted a quote from Chris Broussard, which said, if Victor Wembanyama ends his career in the ranks of Kevin Durant,
Hakeem
Olajuwon. Sorry, the quote's too funny. Hakeem, KD, and one other, you know, top 15. No, it wasn't Magic.
Kareem? If Wemby is AD. If he's AD, he should be embarrassed. If Wemby is AD, KD, or Hakeem, that's a disappointment. I expect him to be one of the best players ever to have a career like LeBron, Jordan, Duncan, Shaq, Kareem.
But those guys are kind of in that. I mean, not Anthony Davis, but Hakeem and KD are.
All five of those guys that he named, that he expects them to be like that, are top 10 players in NBA history.
Right. But Hakeem and KD are probably like top 15 players in NBA history.
Yeah.
I was more so excited to just talk about when you say stupid shit like that, it annoys me if you like have a platform. And I haven't heard from Chris Broussard in years, like really long time. Did he get into something, cancel culture, anything, or
no,
did he just like fell off?
I mean you're out of your Bron days. Your Bron hating is past your time, and the only time you'll ever really see Broussard on the timeline is when you have a Nick Wright quote, some condescending quote about insulting Jordan while uplifting LeBron. So I've seen plenty of Chris Broussard on the timeline. The guy is, he's that quote in a nutshell, right? It's like if we're not remembering you as a top five player of all time, you should change your name and flee the country. Like, that's what they said. But like, this has been happening for years. Like, I saw an old clip about LeBron. I want to say it was Jim Gray that was interviewing him, just because Jim Gray just so happens to always interview anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know who exactly it was, but it's like, how does it feel that if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer, you're a bust? It's like, you're asking a fucking, at the time, LeBron, this is a 16-year-old kid. Now, Wembanyama is a little bit older, I believe, and he's European, which automatically makes him more mature than us Americans. But that's just, I get it's your job and everything, but that is just a beyond crazy thing to say to somebody and to put the pressure on that guy's 7 foot a million shoulders.
Yeah, he's probably heard it all at this point, not gonna lie.
Yeah, and he continue, and he will, and he's one Liz Frank injury away from the first take heading being, did the San Antonio Spurs make a mistake? My cap of the week goes out to spending a week down in sunny Florida in the middle of the NBA season, because a few months ago there was an incident involving a player on the Memphis Grizzlies named Ja Morant, and he learned from his mistakes. He served an 8-game suspension. He spent a little time down in Florida at some treatment center. I don't know what was going on down there. Probably was with Kodak Black just hanging out. And what did Ja Morant do? Not learn from his mistakes. Fuck Ja Morant.
Whoa.
The only reason I say that, and this is the only reason why I get really mad at this, because I do want to say, I don't know the details. I bet they're still investigating. But as far as I'm concerned, John Moran has not committed a crime. Like, he, in the eyes of the law, he didn't commit a crime. Did he violate NBA rules? Probably. There's probably some different rules around firearms and what you can and cannot do involving them. But in terms of the law, John Moran didn't break one. Where I get angry at John Moran, and I said this, I'm sounding like a broken record back in January. He's 23 years old. Whatever he is. That's the excuse that a lot of people are giving. And in most instances, I would say that that is a valid excuse for, he's a kid, he made a mistake, don't rule him out just yet. Let him use this as a stepping stone to learn from his mistakes and grow. That doesn't cut it for John Morant. The reason that doesn't cut it as John Morant is because, one, now you're a multiple time offender of just doing stupid shit. And two, above all else, when you bring a child into this world and have a baby girl daughter, the excuse of being a 22, 23-year-old kid go out the window. You're living your life and you're playing this sport for her. You're posting her on your Instagram. You're having fun on the NBA court with her. That's where I draw the issue of Ja Morant doing all this dumb shit. And where I've been seeing JJ Redick on First Take actually come to his defense about, like, people think, and even Adam Silver's interview said, it's probably going to be a lengthy suspension. Like, when Adam Silver met with Ja Morant back in, I want to say it was January, whatever it was, like, the conversation was centered around how serious this was, how serious he took it, and what would happen if something else happened. And it was 7 months later, right as the NBA season happens, a new video comes out like that, or another story comes out. And that's why I think you need to lay down the law on him. Not to send a message to other NBA players saying, if you do this, then this is what will happen. Because I do think that Ja Morant isn't a representation of just, like, what a young player in the NBA is going to be off the court once he gets all this money. Adam Silver in the NBA needs to come down on Ja Morant for Ja Morant's purposes to learn. Like, that's where I think he is a up and coming star in this league, and nobody is denying that, his basketball talent, right? And the NBA, what has the NBA done historically? It wants to protect his stars. Well, the best way to protect this star, in my opinion, at this moment in time, is to not protect him, is to throw him out there, is to suspend him for 40, 50 games where he's not collecting a paycheck, where he's actually going to fucking learn. And that's where my cap of the week is, the fact that he spent a week in Florida, got a slap on the wrist 8 games, which at the time, like, I probably thought it was fine. I didn't think he could change as a human being at the snap of a finger by being in Florida for a week. But I at the time, I thought 8 games was fine, because you give the guy the benefit of the doubt when he apologizes, saying, I learned from my mistakes and everything, I'm not going to do it again, because this isn't a hard mistake to make. This is so dumb. It's a stupid mistake. It's trying to impress or be someone that you're not when you have a responsibility and a job and a daughter in your life. So the fact that he went down there for 8 days, already served a suspension, is a second time offender, and he has a daughter. That's really the point that drives home with me. I think they need to come down on him really hard. And, like, I'm not denying he's a great player. I'm not saying kick him out of the league. I'm not saying lock him up. I'm saying if the NBA wants to help Ja Morant and wants to protect its guys and protect its players, tough love is what's needed. And that's how I feel.
Uncle Abe, he feels differently. All right, I don't disagree. I can't speak for Jaws' situation. I understand he hasn't broken the law, but in my opinion, and only my opinion, just looks like a fucking idiot. Like,
Yeah.
it's just what are you doing? What it does, if it's not fair, if it's racial, if it's like whatever anyone wants to say about the situation. In my genuine opinion, you just look like an idiot. That's pretty much it. That's all for me. All right, let's talk about the internet graphic of the week. PFF tweeted, "Which player would you give an injury-free career to?" There's a picture of Bo Jackson there. My pick is an interesting one, and it might surprise some people, but I'm going with the number one overall pick, Mr. Wembanyama. I just want to see it play out so that there's not, idiots in watermelon shirts calling him a bust, a Liz Frank away. So that all of the people who are, there will be, I already see the bronze stands who, for some reason, like want, as if it matters, who was the most highly touted prospect. Like, the silliest conversation is debating who was more highly touted. But I know there's a whole plethora of people out there who want to see Wemby fail because they don't want to see anyone live up to the expectations of being one of the highest touted prospects ever. That's why they enjoy Zion's failures. It's why they enjoy, Obi Toppin's failures. When you get some of the most highly touted prospects, people just want to see them fail because their guy came through. But I would love to see what 7'4", shoot the ball, handle the ball, block the ball, Victor Wembanyama could become. And if I could wish a clean bill of health on him, that would take him a far way, in my opinion. Obviously, you can't turn injuries off in the real world, but that's my guy. Who's yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think it brings a fun game into play. It's like, let's throw out the excuses and let's just play bust or not, baby. Like, if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer, you didn't have the injury excuse. Sorry, Broussard's got a point. Broussard's got a point. So that just lays it all on the table. I like that angle you took. I think the question was meant historically, like looking back, what's one player's injuries you could save? And, mine's funny because this guy is one of the greatest of all time, and still there's so much unknown, and that's Tiger Woods. I like didn't really get into watching Tiger a lot, like golf, probably until I was in like middle school, early high school, and really his early 2000s run was really the craziest time. I'm sure there's tweets out there that like, or you can dig up old newspapers that have the pre-tournament odds for what Tiger Woods was at a given tournament at any random point when he was on his hot streak. He might have been an outright minus odds favorite.
He was
Whereas,
like plus 125s for a lot of majors.
for context, the Scottie Schefflers of the world, the Jon Rahms of the world, the Rory McIlroys usually open and close around a plus 700, plus 800. So that shows you just how crazy Tiger was. There were a lot of other things that contributed to Tiger Woods' downfall, probably. I won't say downfall because the guy fucking won another major. But if you take away the knee injuries, the back, the hip, the everything, the guy's a robot at this point. Who's to say he's not seven majors ahead of Jack Nicklaus? Like, the guy just won one after all these injuries. And I think in order to truly, truly see just how ridiculous Tiger Woods was, giving him a clean bill of health would have been nuts.
I will say I like that one too. I think it's a fun experiment. And most people are gonna go with like Greg Oden, Derrick Rose, Brandon Roy, Andrew Luck, these cheeky guys who we really didn't get to see their career play out. Tiger still got to play for a long time. The one caveat I'd throw into Tiger is the reason he was hurt was because of how violent his swing was and how intense his training regimen was. He was training with Navy SEALs in the summers. Like, he was so dedicated that his body was just not in a game like golf where you're supposed to play into your 40s or even 50s. It was just unrealistic as opposed to, while Derrick Rose was a high flyer, he hurt his knee, on kind of a freak accident, right? So those are the guys where if maybe the Colts put a better line around Luck, he doesn't take as many hits, maybe he's like, you know what, I'm a play for 10 more years. So Tiger Woods, one of the greats. You said plus 125 is a favorite, is a pretty good one. Speaking of that, we got our horsey running on Saturday at the Preakness at very similar odds. Only 8 horses in the field. We're out of the 3 gate, which 50 years ago, Secretariat out of 3 gate at Preakness.
Triple crown winner, right?
Yeah, triple crown winner, the greatest horse to ever live. Just wanted to throw
At the end of the day, if you weren't with us on Mage 16-1, if you were on the other side, just stay on that side. We don't want you at plus
160. I want everyone. It's so funny. Like, human beings are so funny, right? Because it's like, oh, I'm not taking him at plus 165. Like, he was 16-1 last week. Well, things have obviously changed significantly. That shouldn't.
But at the same time, I don't know a lot about horse racing. Like, it probably has something to do with the field, but like,
it does.
It does seem a lot of prisoner of the moment-y, the fact that the odds can go from that much. The horse didn't change over week.
It didn't, but also, it was only the 4th time he's ever run a race. And he's now got 2 wins and lost to Forte, who's a generational horse, twice. So I think that people are now like, oh, I see. Yeah, there's only 8 horses in the race. There are a couple horses who are at like 5-2 and 3-1, 4-1. So there's 3 clear, strong horses. And then I was laughing at, like, how rich do you have to be and how much money do you have to be to put your horse in the Preakness in an 8-horse race, right, against obviously pretty much the cream of the crop.
The goat. Mage.
And be 50-1. I was just like cracking up. Like, at the Derby, I get it. There's 19 horses. It's a mishmash. But like, you got 8 horses and you're telling me one of them is dumb trash. Like,
yeah. Can you awesome. Short ponies? Can you short
I don't know,
ponies?
I would if I could.
That's why, like, as a sports hater and something I pride myself in, that's something that we haven't, my community has been unable to unlock is sports betting from the hater standpoint. Like, you can fade somebody, but I want to short somebody.
Right.
I guess points bet, you can do that with unders and stuff.
Mojo, you can buy stock and player. You can short them. That might be your type of jam. All right. Well, let's talk our ranked for the week. Who came up with this? You or Eagleson?
Eagleson.
I think it's a good one. I'm excited for it. We're ranking the most useless skills in life. Why don't you begin?
My number 3, and this isn't anything bitter whatsoever, like, because I can do most of these things. My number 3 is whistling. Actually, I'm a really good whistler. Like, if you give me any song, like a well-known song, I could probably whistle it in perfect
tune. Do the 76ers song in a whistle.
God,
that is pretty good. You even have different pitches, and I just
I'm like, if you give me any song, I'm a pretty good whistler. I'm not gonna go on a rant.
Do Wop by Nicki Minaj.
How does it open again? I just know that's some WAP. You need a song where you can actually know. But whistling, because I can whistle really well. And I've actually told people that as like a fun fact. And they're like, I was like, give me a song. And they're like, no. And I'm like, nobody really cares about this. Slash, this is 2 and 1. Just 2 things I'm really, really good at that have no use in life is whistling. And I know every state capital. Just useless.
I was actually going to put geography on my thing. Like, why?
Yeah, but like, that's not, if you're good at geography, does that mean if I hand you a compass, like, you're going to be able to help us out?
No, that means if I say on a blank U.S. state map, point to Nebraska, like, congrats.
The capital's Lincoln.
Yeah. My number 3 is how to tie a tie. Shout out Jason Tatum. He's got a great YouTube video on it. It's just not that necessary. Also, my doctor this morning, he was wearing a button-down shirt, and they like designed the left slide of it, like sliver side as if he was wearing a tie. I was with him for half an hour, and the last minute I was like, wait, you're not even wearing a tie. It just looks like it. You can just look it up on YouTube. Like, and that's gonna
Yeah,
be
but
the.
that then it then becomes a skill once you learn it. And like you need to,
But it's
I
useless.
personally didn't, I didn't learn how to tie a tie until college. And even now, like I rarely wear ties because it's 2023. I would say the odds of me tying a perfect tie on the first chance by myself are probably like plus 400.
Yeah, but
Like,
who cares? That's the thing. You can retie it. It's a useless skill. My number two is math, which big ups to you. I mean, stock up to you.
I sold that stock a long time ago.
Calculator. Calculator. Like, we're not in school anymore. We're literally not in school. If you ask me, what's this times this, what percentage? I can literally just type it into my calculator. You don't need to be good at math.
Basic math, for sure. But if anyone you can counter with, there's other like accounting stuff that you need to know from a math
That's
standpoint.
accounting. Is that math?
Right, but learn Excel. And that's just AI math. They'll do it for you.
Right.
So
So useless.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I mean, you could throw a lot of like different random school subjects in here, like calculus. I was a huge proponent growing up, maybe because I hated history class. Why the fuck do I need to know about what happened 100 years ago? Oh, well, the future is indicative, or the past is indicative of the future.
History
Oh,
repeats
stop.
itself.
Oh, stop.
I actually think knowing where we came from is important. Not that
I think
I'm
it's
sitting down and
interesting,
studying it.
but why do I need to know what longitude and latitude that they found their wood at for the French-American War or something? It's like, okay, like that type of shit I don't need to know. Maybe how we've evolved as humans and laws and stuff, but like that type of stuff, no. My number two most useless skill is being really good at regular season basketball. I think that is very self-explanatory. It's kind of how the term cutie was born. And from an individual standpoint, from a team standpoint, fuck the regular season.
Were the Sixers cuties the whole time, or were they just
No,
losers?
they're ugly losers.
Okay.
Ugly losers.
So you
Because
genuinely
I
believe
generally think
that
they've been contenders.
right.
Just they're fucking losers.
Okay.
I think they're. And maybe this could be a bias, but I'm also calling them losers. It's like, I think everyone kind of thinks that they're like it. Like I don't know. We had the MVP this year, looked really good against Brooklyn. Whatever, who cares? It's useless being good in regular season basketball. My number one, something we learned in elementary school, which I'm pretty good at, is writing in cursive. If you're listening to this and you can write in cursive, the only thing you'll ever need to know is your name, and even then, you don't even need to know your name. You do if you're signing like a lease, I think, if it's like a really official document. But like the credit card things, you can just scribble. They kind of brainwashed you in elementary school to think that you're gonna have to use this and like it's mature and you're responsible if you know how to write in cursive. You literally only ever need it for your name. And I think the concept of like signatures is the most outdated, ridiculous boomer thing in the entire world. It's like, how many times? I don't have the same signature. I'm sorry. I just don't. I've done something different at the bank that I've done on a lease, that I do at a credit card machine, that I do at a restaurant. It's like, you are not using my signature if you need to in order to identify me. That's not what you're going to use, and that's not what you're going to hold against me in court because there's 50 different signatures out there. Cursive is just so useless. I don't know. Was it like original? Was it? Did cursive come before script, and that's why we even have it? Like, did someone look at cursive being like, why would I look at this when it's so confusing? Let me just straighten all the shit out.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I would say out of all the things that I've like done my 10,000 hours on, like they really used to have you repping. Like we would have
Dude,
hour
letter
long.
by letter, uppercase, lowercase, doing reps.
Like I guess you would rep timetables in math too, but it was different numbers, different combos. This was like A, A,
No, but there are some principles to the times tables that like you need to know. Like in your head when you're making a tip, like you need to know it's 20% usually and how to multiply. Like I don't think the basic math is useless. I do think calculus and all that other shit is.
It's pretty much all these items are just like old timers, you're useless. My number one most useless skill is pretty much anything nowadays that you can Google. So that includes what time it is, where you are on a map, any type of mathematics. Google owns YouTube. So that has eliminated the need for accounting skills and pretty much any skill because you can just search it. You can literally search it. The most useful skill, I would say, nowadays is being good at utilizing the search engines and tools.
I was gonna say, here comes fucking Entrepreneur 101 trying to shove. Your most valuable asset is your network. That is your most useful skill.
I mean,
Ugh.
but seriously, like the amount of knowledge and information on the internet has made so many people's skill sets like virtually useless.
Right, but I do think to a point you kind of missed the mark because, like, you utilize those search engines and the internet in order to learn these skills. So it's what skill are
Learn
you
or
learning on the.
rent? That's the thing.
Depends. That depends.
Right.
Like for time being, you're renting how to learn how to tie a tie.
Right. That's what I
I could
mean.
probably go on back to that YouTube video.
I guess, but I don't know. I feel
I would
bad
say,
for people.
I thought you were going to say your number one would have been college for that exact reason.
Like the skill of college? It's not really a
The
skill.
idea of going to college.
I also was gonna throw in like dribbling with your left hand or something like that, but that's where I
Why?
landed. That's where I landed. All right,
I
Eagles
almost
fan.
landed on the 3-point line, being able to have a 3-point shot. Just go
Andrew,
back.
there he is.
What's
How we
up?
doing?
Hold up.
I'm doing good.
Hold up. Where's
What? What?
Dolphina?
What? She's in the other room. Do I
Okay.
have to go get her?
No, but on the next pod, she's here for the
She'll
summer.
be here, I
If you're
promise.
home for the summer,
Yeah.
Dolphina's home for the summer, okay? That's the rule.
Okay,
I
I
like
got
your
you for
look
the
right
next one.
now with the snapback. You're looking very college.
It's very hockey college,
Yeah, the
yeah.
lettuce is flowing. Like you're in your hot boy summer era. I like that.
Feeling good, but I go
You
ahead.
look very Canadian. Very Canadian right
I was
now.
gonna say this is pretty much the typical Canadian look, hoodie, backwards snapback hat.
Lettuce.
Anyways, there's something happening in South Florida right now.
Are you claiming the heat?
Panthers are in the conference final. The Heat are in the conference final. Miami Dolphins? Something happening there? Is there something happening there? That was such a crazy reaction for that. Why the vibes?
Thought you were doing that to pick up the heat as your team.
No, I don't
Let
give a
me
shit.
read you a message I got on May the 1st. Ready? Sixers up 1-0. Harper returns tonight, somehow by the grace of God. Give Joel whatever they gave you, and Embiid wins MVP tonight. Jack, you might need to catch an Amtrak to Philly because life is good at the moment.
Well, you did.
What? I definitely did that. But Andrew, what goes up must come down.
Didn't Tampa win the Stanley Cup and the Lombardi in the same year? I guess that's not a
You
sweep. You're
can see
right,
reverse
but
sweeps. I've seen that before.
yeah.
And mediocre treatment centers.
Yeah. We're fast. We're fast as fuck. We're so fast.
Being fast is
Is it
cool.
a, what makes that a cute
Because
trait?
like that is
Speed
something
kills. Speed
because like that is
kills.
something that like you do at recess when you're in the fourth grade is like I'm faster than you, let's race.
Like, that's why it's a door. You don't do that in high school. You do Oklahoma drills in high school at recess.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure if I agree, but it's a point. The defense is going to be so good. You guys don't understand what Vic Fangio is going to do there. Yeah, okay.
It's got flaws.
The difference between him and Josh Boyer is insane. It's going to be such a drastic difference in the defense. I know you guys are making fun of it, and sure, like, it's a bit of a joke just saying the scheme over and over again, but the difference between him and Boyer is genuinely going to be insane. You guys can hate all you want.
Insanely hilarious.
Sorry, you're going to have to say that first part again.
Jack, they don't have tape on Tua because he didn't play. That's your angle.
Tua's played more games than Lamar over, like, the last 2 years. Don't even give me that. What?
That was a comeback. Point for Andrew.
The tape doesn't matter because Tua's best trait is his accuracy, and you can't defend the perfect pass. So it really doesn't matter what tape they have.
That was a bar.
And McDaniel also said that they're going to be leaning a lot more on the run game this year with an improved O-line, with a deeper running back room. So that'll take some of that pressure off him. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think you hit it. I think you hit it on the head, Jack.
Yeah, because we added pieces on defense and got probably the best defensive coordinator in the league. We drafted one of the fastest running backs in the draft and re-signed all of our other ones, just improving the room. And then the O-line signed more O-linemen, got deeper, also creating competition between the other O-linemen, making everyone better. You exactly. We lost Mike Gesicki. We lost Mike Gesicki.
And tight ends. And tight ends are the new running backs. We said that.
Exactly. We drafted his replacement anyways, so we're golden. We're going to be so good.
Golden.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That is week one. Yeah. Yeah. I think, is it in Miami?
No, it's not. And you guys are underdogs.
Yeah, it's away. That's fine. Yeah.
Super Bowl or bust?
I feel like you guys have taught me, even if it feels like I haven't. I take, like, one step forward, two steps back sometimes. But, you know, I'm learning a little bit. If we start off 3-0 like we tend to do some seasons, I'll make sure to dial it back. And, you know, we played in a playoff game. We played in a playoff game, guys. I'm kind of...
Hey, listen, there's...
We almost won a playoff
game.
There's
no failure in sports. There's no failure in sports. Just steps to success.
Yeah, so I'll make sure if that happens to dial it back just a little bit. But, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on that train with you. 100%. Yeah, that's right.
Not like,
it's a tough division, not easily.
Not by week 12, but probably yeah. Week 15, right?
Yeah, around there, yeah. 15, 16. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Jets suck.
The timeline's telling me that it's Joe Burrow's year. The guy just somehow gets hotter every day now. I feel like my timeline's just been everyone calling Joe Burrow handsome for a little while. I don't know what's going on with the algorithm.
I've been seeing those. I've been seeing the Mave. I've been seeing multiple videos of Burrow lately.
Yeah, Jack's too heterosexual for us.
Yeah. Like, it possibly, I guess not really, right? Because you'd be surprised. There's a market in Dallas. Dallas fans are real. Maybe if it doesn't get, like, pushed online as much. But Dallas fans are real. I think Vegas is going as good for the league. Obviously, they're one of the expansion teams. There's a lot of hype there in Vegas. Florida, definitely not. That had to have been not a part of their plan at all. And same with Carolina. The fans that are there are passionate, but they're, like, I was reading something. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They make all the, there's a word for it, But they make basically all the bigger teams lose all their money just because of them. They drag everyone down. There's a fucking word for it. I can't remember. Escrow? Maybe is that it? I'm not sure.
I'm rolling with the Canes because nope. I work with people who live down in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they've told me that they have the best home ice in NHL, and it's not close.
Yeah, like when they're there, it is. But I don't know. You see all these numbers on Twitter, and it seems like they're not making any money. You're like it seems like everyone's so passionate, but everyone says like they're on the list of teams that would move if something were to go wrong. So yeah. Also Arizona, yeah. They put out a statement yesterday that they will be playing at Mullet Arena for the next season. But after that, they got to get them out of there. I don't know why Bettman's so like dead set on keeping them in Arizona. They've continued to prove they can't make money. They can't make a deal for a new arena. Get them out of there. Just there's so many other places. They talked about Salt Lake City. They talked about Houston. They talked about bringing them back to Quebec for the Nordiques. I know Bettman hates Canadian teams. He likes moving them to the U.S., but I'd like to see them move. Arizona just seems like it's not working. Quebec. There was one, the Nordiques, and they went to Colorado. But, yeah, it would be nice to bring them back. I know they have an arena there. It would work, but Bettman seems opposed to that for some reason. Yeah. Also, you talked about that the Jason Tatum tie video. Matthew Tkachuk was in that video. He's... Yeah, like they've been like best friends. I saw that. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
You too, right?
Both in the conference final. Abe, do you have any idea who Matthew Tkachuk is?
Wait, did Eagleson just freeze for you too? Oh, I didn't hear anything of what he just said. I swear on my life, it was no. Was it an insult?
I thought you were fucking around. Nice.
I've seen the video of the timeline now. Like they went to high school together. Okay. But actually, swear to God, Eagleson froze when he said Jason Tatum. I swear to God, I assumed an insult was coming, but now you froze.
Yeah.
Zoom's got my back. Headed to Denver, Colorado.
I want the Stars to win. I think. What? Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Nah. Well, because I found it this morning and tried it on, and then, you know, we recorded a podcast, so I was like, I don't feel like changing. This is a fun shirt. This is a fun podcast. I land at like 4:30 on Sunday, so Sunday night should be fine.